Okay, so I will present my work on the hierarchical Anderson model. Well, in case somebody wants to take notes, please don't. So you can find you can find everything in the references. Oops. Okay, I should put it full screen now. Okay, so I will explain the motivation to study the hierarchical Anderson model. After that, I will explain to you what are the hierarchical structures and the pre-hierarchical Laplacian. And after that, we will study the hierarchical Anderson model, which is basically a random perturbation of the pre-hierarchical Laplacian. And I will explain some spectral localization results on the hierarchical Anderson model. And I will say a little bit about fine eigenvalue statistics. By fine eigenvalue statistics, I mean to study whether eigenvalues repel each other or not. Okay. So the motivation is the Anderson tight binding model on ZD and the Anderson conjecture that I would like to explain. So what is the Anderson tight binding model? You consider the discrete Laplacian on the grid ZD. So the standard discrete Laplacian is basically the adjacency matrix of the graph ZD. Well, and if you apply the discrete Laplacian to a function psi at the point x, you end up summing the values of the function psi at all neighboring sites. And the spectrum of the free Laplacian is well known to be absolutely continuous because the grid is infinite and the eigenfunctions are periodic. And the Anderson model is a random perturbation of the discrete Laplacian. And the random perturbation has the following form. That you have a function psi in L2 of ZD, and the value of the perturbed iterator H omega applied to psi is the discrete Laplacian applied to psi plus omega x psi of x. So you add the multiplication by a random function, which you can think of an external random potential. And I'd say a typical example is when the omega x's are IID random variables which have uniform distribution on some interval minus c to c. So I remind you that x are the lattice points of the grid. And here c, you should think of it as measuring the strength of the disorder. So if c is very small, then you have a very small perturbation. And if c is big, then the perturbation is important. And the Anderson conjecture is that depending on the strength of the disorder, you have two spectral regimes. First regime is called localization, and this should hold for large enough disorder, for large enough C. And the situation is that the spectrum of the random iterator is with probability one pure point, so it has only eigenvalues and no absolutely continuous spectrum and no singular continuous spectrum. And also the corresponding eigenfunctions decay exponentially. And the other regime is for small perturbation. So intuitively, you think that the behavior of the discrete Laplacian should dominate and that operator should still have some absolutely continuous spectrum. And this is a conjecture that nobody has proven yet, and I'm not going to either, but this is just a motivation to study other problems. So what are known results? In dimension one, it is known that we have localization actually for any strength of the disorder. So even if you perturb your discrete Laplacian in one dimension by small disorder, then because of randomness, absolutely continuous spectrum disappears and you only have eigenvalues. And for dimension greater or equal to 2, this part of the Anderson conjecture has been rigorously proven, that for large enough disorder, you have pure point spectrum. And again, for small c, the situation is much more difficult to analyze. And maybe the only case where something has been done rigorously is on the corresponding model on the beta lattice. So just what is beta lattice? Beta lattice is a regular tree. And you can consider the corresponding discrete Laplacian, which is just the adjacency matrix. And in this case, you have these two spectral regimes. For small enough coupling, absolutely continuous spectrum still remains. And the free Laplacian on the beta lattice, by the way, also absolutely continuous. and absolutely continuous spectrum is preserved under small perturbation. So beta lattice is one model where one has changed the grid ZD to some simpler grid to understand. Yes?
Something strikes me. Your discrete reflection doesn't vanish when the function is constant. Is that something that's normal or?
Well, okay, technically, to be more correct, you should write it like that, one over the number of neighbors, sum over C of X minus C of Y. So you should, and this would be a correct discretization of the second derivative, then it would vanish. But here, because it is just going to shift the spectrum, so you, for simplicity, assume that. Yeah, okay, thank you for asking. It's just more simple to study.
Is there a sharp C0 for the
conjecture is that there is, but nothing has changed. Oh, for the trees now, it is known that for some value, let's say C0, for small disorder you have AC spectrum, for bigger disorder you have pure point spectrum, and nothing is known in between. And this is still open problem. People are trying hard. And okay, they cannot do it. Okay, and so I will explain another toy model, which is the hierarchical model. But again, you're changing the lattice and you're changing the Laplacian by a simpler one, but which is not too trivial, but where you can say something. So, what is a homogeneous hierarchical structure? I mean, the simplest way is to give an example. So suppose you have a countable set of points. Infinite countable set of points. And the hierarchical structure on the set is a hierarchical system of grouping or partitions. So suppose this is my first partition, I group points into pairs. This is my first level of hierarchy. At the second level, I'm going to group these pairs together. At the next level, I group these guys together, etc. And you can, of course, consider hierarchical structures with a degree 3 of or anything. You could even change the degree at each level of the hierarchy. And it is convenient to represent this hierarchical structure by a tree. So there's a natural notion of hierarchical distance. So distance between two points, x and y, let's say x is here and y is here, is going to be one half of the length of the shortest path on the tree between these two points. So distance between this guy and this guy is equal to 2. This distance has a very nice property. It is a metric on X, and it's more than that. That two balls are either disjoint or identical.
Beta
lattice is different. But no, beta lattice, the distance is just. No, the distance is just. It's just the shortest path. So you can have one ball, let's say, with this center and radius 1 is this one. And one ball with this center and radius 1 is going to be this ball, so they intersect. Now, this is different than beta lattice. It's some sort of shadow version on the beta lattice, because on the beta lattice you also consider these points, but in my case they just represent the hierarchical organization. So, we define some operators on the space. First, we define the averaging operator. So my Hilbert space is L2 of X, which are just sequences indexed by points in the hierarchical lattice. And first we define averaging operators. For each level of the hierarchy, the corresponding averaging operator ER just averages the function over balls of radius R. For example, what does E2 do? So my blue diamonds represent the graph of a function in L2 of X. I mean, just a piece of it because it's infinite. And then the operator E2 is going to have to project the function to the subspace of functions which are constant on each ball of radius 2. So it's replacing these 4 by the average, these 4 by the average, etc. It's sort of conditional expectation construction. So this is a model introduced by Stanislav Malchanov in this form. Okay, and the free Laplacian is going to be a weighted combination of these averaging operators. So you have to specify parameters PR, which are basically a probability measure on the natural numbers. And the free Laplacian is the sum of PR, ER. So I mean, unlike the discrete Laplacian on ZD here, the matrix elements of the hierarchical Laplacian are not local. So every point interacts with every other point, but the interaction decreases as the point gets further and further apart. And how exactly it decreases? Well, it depends on my specification of the parameters PR. If the PR decreases very fast, or let's say even they are zero after some finite R, then sort of the interaction is small. So what are the basic properties of this hierarchical Laplacian? Okay, it's a self-adjoint operator. It is also not hard to see that it's greater than 0 and less than 1. And also, if you look at the matrix elements in the natural basis of delta functions at the vertices of the hierarchical lattice, then the sum over a row is equal to 1. And in terms of probability theory, this means that it generates a Markov chain, or a random walk. So what is the structure of this random walk? So you start at the point on the hierarchical lattice. Then you, with probability PR, you choose a rank R, and after that, you look at the ball with center where you are and radius R, and you jump uniformly inside this ball. This is the structure of the random walk. And of course, the properties of the random walk will depend on the specification of PR. Excuse me?
A regular lattice with the regular differential.
Yes. Yes. So, and you'll recall that on the regular lattice in two dimensions, if you start at a point, then almost surely you will return to origin. And if dimension is greater than 3, then almost surely you will never return to origin. And here, in the hierarchical Laplacian, there is a notion of spectral dimension, which is sort of cooked up in a way that you will have the same property. But before I talk about spectral dimension, let me just say that you can explicitly diagonalize. No, discrete Laplacian is not really a special case of that. I mean, you can try to model, and what you can try to do is to take the grid Z2, let's say in two dimensions. You can try to group these things, these points together, this together. These ones and these ones, and you group them together, and then you sort of cook up the parameters PR so that this has the right dimension. But it's a hierarchical caricature. Unfortunately, it's not, and you also see that the spectrum of the free Laplacian is going to be very different than the spectrum of the corresponding discrete Laplacian on ZD. The spectrum here consists of isolated eigenvalues of infinite multiplicity, and the eigenvalues are equal to the partial sums of the parameters PR. And the infinite multiplicity comes from the fact that we have a lot of symmetry in the model. And we can also find explicitly the projection on the eigenspace, but we will not need it. Now just remember that eigenvalues are discrete and infinite multiplicity, and they accumulate at the point 1. So we can compute the spectral measure and dimension of the free Laplacian. Let me remind you what is spectral measure. So you look at the point x and the corresponding delta function at x, and by the spectral theorem, you can compute functions of your free Laplacian, and the matrix elements of f of delta at delta x is given by the integral of f over some measure mu, and this measure is the spectral measure for the operator. And in this case, you can compute exactly the spectral measure. It will have its atoms on the eigenvalues, lambda r, that you saw here. And you can compute explicitly the weight. The weight is going to be given by 1 over nr minus 1 over nr plus 1, where nr is the size of a ball of radius r. In this case, in my picture, it would be 2 to the r. Then you define the notion of spectral dimension. So show that the eigenvalues of the free Laplacian accumulate at 1, and the spectral measure is giving some weight to a small interval from 1 minus t to t. And this is the measure of this interval. Behaves like t to the power d over 2, then d is called the spectral dimension of the model. So why is that so? Well, you have the same phenomenon for discrete Laplacian, where the spectrum is between minus 2d to d. And if you look at the edge of the spectrum, that the spectral measure has the same asymptotics. But maybe it's more transparent to understand the spectral dimension in terms of random walk, because you can prove the following results. Quite simple, that in the hierarchical model, if you assume that the probabilities PR decay exactly exponentially, let's say with rate rho, then the exact expression for spectral dimension is 2 log n over log rho. I remind you that n is the degree of the branching of the hierarchical lattice. So in all my pictures, n was equal to 2. And you can prove that random walk is recurrent if and only if spectral dimension is less than 2, and transient if the spectral dimension is greater than 2. And actually, you can have the dimension as a continuous parameter depending on how you vary PR. So in this sense, it's a toy model. Yes? Then is spectral dimension equal to 0. Yes. And here, the faster PR decreases, the smaller spectral dimension. Yes. Maybe in this example, so if you adjust on the lattice Z2 and you try to cook PR so that the spectral dimension is equal to 2, then you should take PR to decrease like 1 over rho to the R, and rho should be equal to 4, because the degree of the branching is 4. Okay. So we can move. How much time do I have just because I started late? 5 minutes. Okay, 5 minutes? Okay. So what is the hierarchical Anderson model? So as with the Anderson model of ZD, you perturb the operator by a random potential. So you multiply it by random function omega x, which you model by omega belonging to r to the x, and you put some probability measure on omega. The questions are to study the spectrum of h omega. For example, when is it a non-random object? Second question, what is spectral type? Do we have a C spectrum or a pure point? And the third question is, what are the fine eigenvalue statistics? So we can prove that if the omega x's are ID random variables with some distribution, and the support of the distribution is the connected set, let's say they're uniform, then the spectrum is going to be a non-random set for almost all realization of the potential. And it's going to be the spectrum of the free Laplacian plus the support of the perturbation. So if the omega x's are uniform on minus cc, then the spectrum of the perturbed operator is going to be almost surely a finite union of intervals. So there was a starting point for this research. Was a great theorem by Stanislav Molchanov, who proved if you assume that the perturbation parameters omega x are Cauchy random variables, then almost surely H omega has no continuous spectrum. So the spectrum consists only of eigenvalues. And I wanted to extend this result to arbitrary distribution, let's say normal or uniform. I could not do this, but instead, if you assume a little bit more on the decay of the parameters PR, so assume that the decay is at least as fast as the square root of the size of a ball of radius r grows, then in this case you have localization for almost you have almost surely that you have only pure point spectrum. And also for any perturbation in this regime you have no AC spectrum, but you might have for some really unlucky choice of the perturbation singular continuous spectrum. So you start with eigenvalues of infinite multiplicity, you perturb it a little bit. So you see the strength of the disorder can be anything in the model. And these eigenvalues sort of spread, and they you get dense two-point spectrum. Okay. Now just one quick word about fine eigenvalue statistics. So what is that? Basically, you fix a point x and you look at the ball of center x and radius r, and look at the finite volume approximation to your operator. So you truncate everything up to level r in the hierarchy. And then you just, the truncation of the random operator is just a matrix of size nr by nr, and it's going to have some eigenvalues which are going to sit somewhere in this interval, right, in this union of intervals. And when you increase the size of the cluster, then you have more and more eigenvalues. Of course, these are random objects which are represented by these little stars, and they start to fill up these intervals. And the question is to study fine eigenvalue statistics. So to do that, you fix some energy E, and in a small interval around this energy, you're going to have the number of eigenvalues is going to be proportional to the size of the cluster. So what you do, you look in a microscope at so you here and you zoom by a factor of nr, and then you study the rescaled process. So what you do exactly, you define the following random metric CR, which is going to be the sum of f of nr ej minus e, where ej is my random eigenvalues. And you study this as a point process. And you can prove that if the spectral dimension is less than 1, and if the perturbation consists of ij random variables with a density, then for almost all energy, this rescaled measure will converge to a homogeneous Poisson point process with appropriate intensity. So what does that mean? Again, so you have your eigenvalues, you zoom in the picture so they don't accumulate that much anymore. And then if you look at, say, two different intervals, then the number of eigenvalues in two different intervals are going to have to be independent random variables with appropriate Poisson distribution, like you would have for a just random diagonal matrix. So it means that you don't have repulsion of eigenvalues. And so where does this come from? Because if you think your hierarchical model is consists of small pieces which are self-similar, and if your probabilities PR decrease fast enough, it means that you don't have that much interaction between these different pieces. And so the eigenvalue process is a superposition of a lot of independent processes. And this is where the Poisson process comes from. And this is also a sort of explanation why you have localization. So I think this is it for the presentation. I would like to thank you for your patience.